But once that head clock started ticking, it always seemed to run true. For a while, Roland had lost it, just as the world had lost its points of the compass, but now it was back, and that cheered him greatly. "Did you count the minute?" she asked. "Mississippi 1, Mississippi 2, like that?" He shook his head. "I just know. When a minute's up or an hour."
"Bolsheviki," she scoffed. "You guessed."
If I'd guessed, would I have spoken after exactly one revolution of the hand?
"You mought got lucky,"
Detta said, and eyed him shrewdly with one eye mostly closed, an expression Roland detested, but never said so. That would only cause Detta to goad him with it on those occasions when she peeked out. "Do you want to try it again?" he asked.
"No," Susanna said, and sighed. "I take your word for it that your watch is keeping perfect time. And that means we're not close to the Dark Tower, not yet."
"Perhaps not close enough to affect the watch. But closer than I've ever been," Roland said quietly. "Comparatively speaking, we're now almost in its shadow. Believe me, Susanna, I know." But from over their heads came a cawing that was both harsh and oddly muffled, "Croo, croo," instead of "caw, caw." Susanna looked up and saw one of the huge blackbirds, the sort Roland had called castle rooks, flying overhead low enough so that they could hear the labored strokes of its wings. Dangling from its long, hooked bill was a limp strand of something yellowy-green. To Susanna it looked like a piece of dead seaweed, only not entirely dead. She turned to Roland, looked at him with excited eyes. He nodded. "Devil grass. Probably bringing it back to feather his mate's nest. Certainly not for the babies to eat, not that stuff,"